Melachim Beis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches.
I forgot to turn up page a little.
I missed a big Aliyah last week, huh?
Big Aliyah?
I said I wasn't here. I say I missed.
Here.
I missed him going up.
Right. No, he didn't go up yet.
No, he didn't go flying.
That's happening this week.
He didn't have his passport.
Yeah, there's passport control when he comes.
You can't get on a plane unless you got your passport.
He didn't go on a plane though.
On the better way. He went on the better way.
Much better way. I mean, went much higher than a plane.
Yes.
Okay, let's see exactly how it happens. So last week we saw how Elio was about to go up Bisara Shamaima, he's about to go up to the heavens, and Elisha, his Talmud, wants to accompany him, he wants to go with him, because he wants to receive the Ruach, the ability for Nevuah that Elio now has. He wants to receive it as well. So, we saw the relationship, last week we saw the relationship between Elisha and Elio, and how it worked. And how the Nevuah came down from Shemaim, from Elio. He was the main source of Nevuah, and through him came the Nevuah to all the other smaller Nevim, the lower level Nevim, the Bnei Nevim, what the Navi calls. And now that he's leaving, Elisha is going to take his place. So let's see Pasuk Ches. Ve'ikach Elio es adartoi. Elio takes his cloak. Ve'yiglaim. He makes it into a golem. A golem is just like basic matter. He hits the water, and they split in half. Both Elio and Elisha pass through the water. So what's going on up here? It seems like a scene out of a movie, almost. Right? It seems like Hollywood. Right? It seems a little also like... like Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, which we're actually going to have next week in Parshas Beshalach. So what's happening here? So the Malbim explains as follows. He says that every person, every human being, is created out of the four basic elements. What are the four basic elements?
Fire and water.
Fire, water, right.
And dust.
Dust? You mean earth.
Earth.
Yeah.
And wind.
And wind. Very good.
Neshama. Oh.
No, the neshama, is not part of the body. The neshama is a separate part of the body. The neshama is the spiritual aspect of the body.
Probably ear.
Sorry?
Ear.
What?
Ear.
Ear.
Not this kind of ear. This kind of ear. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what the other one is.
Yeah, no, he said air. So water, fire, earth, and air.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the neshama is a different thing. The neshama comes down. It's kind of the channel that descends all the way from the heavens, all the way from Shemaim, into this world, through all the other worlds. There are seven different worlds. And it descends all the way into this world, and all the way to our body. And that's the connecting force, the connecting channel that brings life into our body. Now, the neshama doesn't go through our own body. The neshama only goes to the head. The rest of our body the neshama is not occupied in the rest of the body. Only in the head. And so, that's why they say, for example, that when a person... Right, so if you look at the neshama, only the tip of the neshama is connected to the body. The rest of the neshama is in the heavens. That's why it says in the Zohar that a person who goes ahead and invests so much in his body, in this world, right? He makes sure he's well-dressed, and he's driving a fancy car, and he's got a fancy house, right? And everyone looks at him and admires him, and the paparazzi run after him. A person like that, it says in the Zohar, that when he gets to Olam Haba, when he gets to the world to come, what's going to happen? Says he gives a parable of a man walking into a room full of people, and this man who's walking in is completely naked, except he has bright, shiny shoes. Right?
Shiny
pretty
what?
Funny. Shoes.
Teeth?
Shoes.
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 Oh, boots.
Shoes, yeah. Right, why? Because the neshama is, the whole body of the neshama is, goes all the way to the heavens, and only, he perfected only the bottom part of the neshama. Right, the part that's actually connected to the body. That's the only part he perfected. So when he walks into Olam Habam, into the world to come, right, he's going to be a room full of people, all the previous neshamas that lived in this world, and he's going to be walking in, it's only his neshama that walks in, right, the body stays in this world. Only so, therefore, it's going to be like walking into a room with bright, shiny shoes, right? Which is much more humiliating than walking in naked, right? Imagine a person walks naked to a room, right? It's humiliating. It's not so pleasant, right? But it's even worse. It's way worse. If he walks into a room and he's fully naked, but he's got bright, shiny shoes, right? It's so much worse, right? People will laugh at him so much more, right? So a person who invests all everything he has in this world, in this body that he has, he's going to walk into the next world and everyone's going to laugh at him. He's going to be the laughing stock, right? Look at your bright, shiny shoes. What are you doing here, right? It's going to be hilarious, right? So a person has to remember that and remember to perfect his neshama, not only his body. So now, since the body is composed of these four parts, four elements, four basic elements, water, fire, air, and earth. Right, by the way, just as a side point, there are four holy cities in Israel. And each of these four holy cities directly correlate to the four elements. What are the four holy cities in Israel?
Yerushalayim,
yeah, that's obvious.
Sfat.
Tel Aviv.
Tveria. And
very good.
Hebron.
Tel Aviv is not on the list?
Nah.
No.
But Lechem, no.
Tel Aviv is probably in the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, bottom. The better.
Right, so you have Yerushalayim, Tzfat, Tveria, and Hebron. Which city is which? Which city is which element? Sorry? Try to connect each city to each element. What do you think? Right, you have four elements. Water, fire, air, and earth. You have four holy cities. Yerushalayim, Hebron, Tzfat, and Tveria.
Fire got to be Yerushalayim.
Fire is Yerushalayim. Right? It says Yerushalayim. Like Be'esh Nivnasa. Yerushalayim was built with fire. U'be'esh Asida Leibanos. And in the future, it will be built in fire. Right? It says the Beis HaMikdash will descend down from the heavens in a pillar of fire. Right? So that Yerushalayim is fire. Very good. What else? You have three more to go. One down, three to go.
Is the earth Hebron?
Very good. Yeah. Earth is Hebron, right? Kumu Yisheni Hebron, right? Because the forefather, the patriarchs and the matriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Leah, Rivka, and Sarah, are all buried in Hebron. So Hebron is earth. We have two left. Tzfat and Tveria. Guys are on a roll. Keep going. Okay.
What was in Tveria? That's where. In Tveria, they.
Very good. That's what you got. It. Tveria is water, right? That's obvious. Right on the Kinneret. Right? Tveria is water. That leaves us with Tzfat, which is air. Right? That's where all the famous.
Up on the mountain.
Yeah, up in the mountains, right? It's up high.
The Kabbalah. Right?
Yeah, all the famous Kabbalists lived in Tzfat, exactly. All the mysticals, right? They belong in Tzfat. Because Tzfat is air. Right, that's what Tzfat is. So every city has its personal energy. Every holy city in Yerushalayim. That's why many times when people go on birthright trips, I ask them, what's your favorite place in Israel? Because that way I get to know what the most dominant element in them is. Right, everyone has a dominant element inside of them. Right, a person, for example, who's very charismatic, right, his dominant element is fire. Right, a person who's very grounded, right? He doesn't have his head in the clouds, right? His dominant element is earth, right? Someone who's very floaty, like the professor who's all over the place, right? His dominant element is air, right? And someone who's very altruistic, very giving, very kind, his dominant element is water, because water goes everywhere, right? The pasuk says, "Shlach lach b'chol p'nei amayim." The pasuk that describes chesed refers to throwing bread on the water. Because
that's the way Yoshki walked.
No, I'm not saying walking on the water. Not saying walking on the water. That's something completely different. That's not what we're discussing over here. No.
No, he couldn't walk on the water because he had holes in his feet. That was Jack's joke.
Yeah. In any case, so someone who's very kind, his dominant element is water, because water goes everywhere. It just goes, right? It doesn't have any form. Right? He just goes, flows. Right? So to someone who's very altruistic, he's very giving. Right? He gives away. He doesn't have a form of itself. He's very willing to give away from his own. Right? So his dominant element is water. Now, what's going on over here with Elio, now that we have a bit of more of an understanding of these four basic elements that every human being is created of, Elio is also, like every other human being, composed of four elements: fire, air, water, and earth. So what's happening over here is that he is getting rid of two of the earth elements, the elements that hold him down, right, which is water and earth. Right, those two elements are the parts that connect a person to this world. Fire and air are much more spiritual elements. They don't necessarily belong to that world, right? How do you know fire is spiritual? Because it goes up. Right, when you light a fire, it goes up. Right, when you pour water, what happens? It goes down. Earth goes down. Right, air is all over the place. Right, doesn't it's not attracted to the ground. So fire and air are the elements that are more spiritual. So what Elio was doing over here is he's getting rid of the elements of water and earth that are connecting him to this world. And what he does then is that once he does that, he can go ahead and he could use the body as a piece of clothing, right? Because he separated the fire and the air from the water and the earth, he can then go ahead and separate from his body when he wants to. It's like taking off your heavy cloak of physicality. But if he wants, he could also put it back on. That's what he's doing over here. That's why we have all these stories of, Elio and Elvi appeared here and he appeared there. How could he appear? He went up, he's in Shemaim, right? But no, what's happening over here is because he separated the two elements of fire and air from water and earth, he can now use his body as a piece of clothing, as a cloak that you can take it off and put on whenever you want. That's what's happening over here. That's why what he's doing over here is he's hitting the water to show that he's getting rid of the water, right, from his body. So now, the reason why the water is separating here is because the Malbim introduces a very interesting concept. He says that when a person goes ahead and he controls his body, right, he works on himself, right, he can grow, he can overcome desire, he can overcome a different challenge, that changes the balance of the elements in his body. And when it changes, when the balance of the elements change in his body, it doesn't affect only his body alone. Rather, it affects the whole entire world. Whole entire world, in turn, is affected by the balance, the change of the balance in the person's body. And so now, since Elio is getting rid of the water in his body, that's why the water over here is splitting in two. Because the water is immediately affected by the body that was close to it, right? So that's an interesting thing to help us understand what's going on over here. But it's also very effective to help us understand how when we grow, right? We think, okay, you know, we grew, we became a better person. Okay, it only affected my personal life. No, it's not true. It affects the whole entire world. When we grow, when we become better people, we overcome our basic elements and our desires and our challenges. We affect not only our own body, not only our own life, but we affect the entire world, right? So we see all the time people say, oh, I want to make the world a better place, right? I'm going to become a doctor, I'm going to become a law enforcement, I'm going to change the world, right? No, That's not the way to change the world. Yeah, you could change the world, but it's a much more basic way of changing the world. A much more effective and a global way of changing the world, which has a much wider effect, is when a person works on himself. When a person works on himself, he then, in turn, changes the world. That's why it says that Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, they bring peace into the world. Right? They are the ones who really change the world. When a person learns Torah, he's changing the whole entire world, not only his own life. Because he's bringing the light of Hashem into this world. And when he brings the light of Hashem into this world, the more light of Hashem there is in this world, the better the world is, the better the world becomes. So the more Torah the more Torah a person learns, the more Hashem's presence becomes stronger in this world, and that affects and changes the whole entire world. So if you want to make the world a better place, what do? Become a doctor. No. You don't become a doctor, you learn Torah. That's the way to change the world. That's what's going on over here. So that's why he's taking his cloak. It says, "Vayikach Eliyahu Sadartoi." He takes his cloak, Vayiglon, and he turns it into a golem. He turns it into earth or matter, because that's exactly what he's doing. He's separating from his body to show, just like he's now separating from his body. That's why he's taking off his cloak to show that now he can separate from his body like he takes off his cloak. And at will he could leave his body, and at will he could return to his body. Okay. Let's see next pasuk. Pasuk Tes. Vayhi ka'avram, as they pass, v'liyo omar l'alishosh alma e'esalach b'terem elokach me'imach. He turns to Elisha and he says, "You have any last request? Any last words?" V'yemer Elisha, v'hina pishnayim beruchacha elai. So Elisha asks Elio, his last request is to have double the amount of nevuah that he had up until now. So now the question is, what exactly is he asking? Is he saying, "Oh, since you are not going to have nevuah anymore because you're not going to be in this world, so you won't need nevuah"? Nevuah is only for a person who's in this world. A prophet is someone who has connection to the higher world, to the heavens. But if a person is going into the heavens like Eliyahu is, there's no need for nevuah. So Elisha, according to one pshat, what Elisha is doing is he's saying, "Okay, you know, you don't need your nevuah anymore. You got all this spare nevuah that you've got nothing to do with. Why don't you give it to me? Right? So I can have it. And that way, in turn, I'm going to have double than what I have now." Right? So that's why it says, "V'hina pishnayim beruchacha elai." I will have double if you give your ruach, if you give your nevuah, I will now have double, because I'll have what I had before, and I'm also going to have what you're going to give me. Now, the Malbim points out that Eliyahu was actually the same neshama of Pinchas. Pinchas was who? Pinchas was the one who went ahead, and he was mekane, he was a zealot. He went ahead, and when he saw the Nasi of Shevet Shimon doing an affair in front of everybody, he took a spear, and he killed him in front of everybody. Now, it says the Pinchas actually had the neshama of Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu were also zealots in their own way. They did it in the wrong way, right? They brought an Esh Zara, they brought a foreign fire that Hashem did not ask them to, but they did it out of good intentions. They wanted to be a zealot. They wanted to bring the fire of Hashem. So Pinchas is now the tikkun. He's fixing what Nadav and Avihu did. Nadav and Avihu were zealots to Hashem, and they went ahead and they brought the fire in the wrong way. So Pinchas, in turn, is now coming to this world with the neshama of Nadav and Avihu. He has their neshama, and he will fix it. He will be a zealot the right way, the way it's supposed to be done. And now Eliyahu had the same neshama of Pinchas. Now, if you remember, we see also that Eliyahu was also a zealot to Hashem. Back when he goes ahead and rebukes the Jewish people, what does he say? He goes ahead and rebukes them, and then Hashem comes to him, and he gives this whole mashal of how of the wind. Right here, let's pull it up. So he says, so Hashem appears to him, and he brings this big, powerful wind that destroys all the mountains and all the stones. And then Hashem says, Lo baruach Hashem. Hashem is not in the wind. After the rush, after this noisy wind, what happens? There's fire. Fire comes along and burns everything. And Hashem says, no, not in the fire either. After the fire comes kol d'mama daka, silence. So, what is Hashem telling him? I'm telling Eliyahu over here. Well, what message is he trying to send him? So the Malbim over there explains that when he rebuked the Jewish people, he rebuked the Jewish people with a fiery, you know, sermon of, oh, you're going to burn, you're going to, if you do this, if you continue doing the wrong thing, you're going to burn in hell, you're going to be punished, right? He's going on and on and on. Hashem is telling him, okay, yeah, you go ahead, you could be like this powerful, noisy wind that destroys mountains and brings down stones, right? It could be a fire that burns everything. That's not Le'baruach Hashem. Hashem is not in the fire. Hashem is not in the wind. Le'ba'esh Hashem. Hashem is not in the fire. Hashem is in the silence. If you want to influence other people, right, it's not going to help to go ahead and rebuke them with a fiery sermon, and I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to show them, and you're going to burn in hell. No, no. That's not the way to do it, right? You want to be a zealot to Hashem? Eliyahu was really a zealot, right? It would bother him from deep, very deeply, the fact that the Jewish people were doing the wrong thing. They were worshipping idols. He's trying to tell them, what are you doing? Don't you realize you're going to be punished? Right? You're going to burn? But Hashem tells him, no, that's not the way to influence people. If you want to influence them, you got to do it silently, calmly, right? In a relaxed fashion. That's the only way to change other people. And that's why Eliyahu says, okay, this is not for me. I got the wrong job. Right? So Hashem tells him, okay, if you got the wrong job, I'll bring you up to the heavens, you can be with me, and we'll have someone else do the job. Right? That's why Elisha was apparently more calm and more relaxed. He was the one to take over Eliyahu's place. So Eliyahu, because he had the neshama of Pinchas, who had the neshama of Nadav and Avihu, they were all the zealots to Hashem. And now Eliyahu, in turn, is also a zealot to Hashem. And because he was a zealot, and Hashem didn't want him to act as a powerful zealot the way he was, so Hashem says, okay, you got to come up to Shemaim, you got to come up to the heavens, because that's where you belong. You can't influence other people. A Navi is someone who's supposed to influence other people, help them grow. If you want to help them grow, you can't do it with fire. Yeah, with force. That's not the way to do it.
Don't go through extraordinary means, you know.
Right. Now, if you remember, which bracha did Pinchas get? Right? What did Hashem tell him? Rasati loy es brisi shalom. I will give him my covenant, which is peace. Yeah. Peace, shalom v'achayim, peace and life. Because Eliyahu was the same neshama of Pinchas, he now got the gift of life. Right? Because he never died. He didn't actually die. He went up to the heavens just because he was able to separate the elements of fire and air from the water and earth, but he's still alive. He can separate from his body, but he could take the form of his body whenever he wants. So he never actually died.
What does it mean that Nishama is the same?
What?
Nishama is the same at Pinchas.
It's a Gilgul of the Nishama, a reincarnation of the Nishama.
Nishama is not unique.
A neshama can come back into this world. If a person did not complete what he's supposed to do in this world, the neshama will come back until the person completes his neshama. Until the person completes his tikkun, right? Whatever he's supposed to fix.
But there is idea in neshama
come back to the body after.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Yeah, when in the resurrection, yeah, then the neshama is going to come back. So that's a good question. The neshama we know has different parts, right? Right. It's not like one neshama can occupy one body. Neshama could divide up to different parts. We find this, for example, when if chas v'shalom a person is a boil nida, right? A person is living with a woman who's a nida. That is an aver that is chayav kares, right? Whereas the neshama gets cut off. Now, what does that mean? That means that when a person is chayav kares, he gets an aver, he gets kares. Kares means that his neshama, part of it is neshama gets cut off. Right? So he's still walking around this world. If you look at his body, you won't notice, oh, half of his body is missing. You won't notice any difference. But if a person is in real life, the neshama is diminished. Part of his neshama got cut off. You could have a person walking around with half of his neshama, with a third of his neshama, right? They look to me and you, they look the same person, but in reality, he's missing a piece of his neshama. Right? So a piece of neshama could disappear, could get cut off, right? So when it says that the neshama returns into this world, I'm not sure if it means that the whole neshama comes back or part of the neshama comes back. This is, you know, deeper mystical things that I don't necessarily have a full understanding of. It's more into the realm of Kabbalah and Zohar. What were you going to say?
If saying God told him, you're not doing the right thing by yelling and screaming and everything else.
Right.
Okay. Because he won't influence anybody that way. Yeah, it's understandable. If you want to tell somebody what to do, you say, well, you shouldn't have done it, but if you do it, it'll be better, and this will happen, nobody's screaming. That's fine. But he was the Gilgal from...
Pinchas.
Huh?
Pinchas.
Yeah, but what else could Pinchas do? He had to do what he did. I mean, what Pinchas did is like him yelling in bed and screaming, and he killed him. He had to. And he became a kohen because of that. So we see from that, that was the right thing to do. Now he's telling him here, this is not the right thing to do. It seems to me...
Right. So jealousy is a very important trait, but it's got to be used in the right way. Use it in the wrong way,
yeah.
Then,
but what? Why was it in the wrong way with Eliyahu?
Because what Eliyahu was trying to do is he's trying to influence other people. Right? He's a Navi. He's trying to preach and change their ways.
But what did Pinchas do?
Pinchas was not trying to change other people. He was not trying to convince the Nasi of Shevet Shimon that he's doing an Avera. Right? It's not what he was trying to do. He saw a Chil Hashem, he saw a desecration of Hashem's name, and he acted. Right? It happened to be that he was right. Right? But it's a very interesting thing. Right? Even though he was right in what he did, the Gemara says that it's halacha v'in mayrinkin. It is the halacha, it is the law, the letter of the law. However, if someone comes over and asks, tell me what should I do, you don't tell him go and kill him. Right? You don't tell him to do that. Right, he has to be a zealot on his own. It has to come from him. So it's a very tricky thing, zealousy. You have to know when to use it, when not to use it.
Can't you say that was Eliyahu, that's him? It comes from him. And it seems doing that isn't right. You say God has told him, well, you're not the person here because... Like, okay, he's Pinchas today. He's trying to say that he shouldn't have done it that way.
Right.
It seems, but he had no choice. Maybe Eliyahu had no choice either. You see what I'm trying to?
You think Eliyahu had no choice?
No, Pinchas had no choice in the matter. If he didn't do anything, that was it.
Right.
They were all gone. God would have destroyed the whole bunch of them. Except for Moshe, but he had to do that. So maybe that's why, since he's a Gilgal from Pinchas, that's why he has to do his way. In which God says, you know, that's not the way to do it. I mean, there must be a spot where it is the right way to do it. And then another place, it depends on wherever it is, shall you do it this way or that way. You hear what I'm saying here? Pinchas had no choice. It had to be done. He says, what can be done? So Moshe said to him, so Pinchas said, this is what you have to do. And he said, well, you thought of it, you do it. Right?
Right.
He said, okay, right. Do it. So he did the right thing. Moshe didn't say, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
Start going in and talk to him. And say, don't do it.
Right. No, he did the right thing.
There's a spot. There's a time, I guess. But over here, he came to the spot that he should have done it. He should be done differently.
Right.
You understand what I'm trying to bring out?
Yeah, listen, it's hard to know when the right thing to do. I don't know how to tell you when the right thing to act in zealousy and when it's the wrong time to act in zealousy. I wouldn't know, if the situation was presented to me, I wouldn't know when to act on it.
When to yell or what to...
No,
there's time and place for everything, but who knows when
that... time to act.
Right.
There's a time to find out what can be done.
Right.
Right? I guess.
Right.
So he's such as Delat, he hasn't got time to find out. So then God said, no, that's not the way to do it. I'm taking, come back to me, or come up here, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what Hashem is telling him. Hashem is telling him, okay, listen. Nice try, but that's not the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's telling you. Yeah. Okay. Let's continue. One or two more pesukim. Vayomer ikshisa lishol im tira oisi lugach miitach yihil chokein v'imayin lo yiyye. What's the Leo thing over here? So Eliyahu is telling him, okay, so you're asking for my nevuah, right? Eliyahu is saying, you're asking for my nevuah, and you're asking that it's going to go on you, Elisha, right? So that way you're going to have double than what you had before. So then what's going to happen is going to be like the moon, right? Until now, Elisha was the moon, because he got his light from Eliyahu. Right? Eliyahu was the sun. He was the main source of the Nevuah. From there, it trickled down to all the other Nevim. And so Elisha is now saying, since until now he was the moon, and now he's going to be a sun. Because he's going to have the same Nevuah that Eliyahu had. And that's what he's asking for. So Eliyahu tells him, okay, if that's what you want, lo yihyeh. That can be, cannot be. Why? Because in order for that to happen, you need to completely leave this world. You can't be in this world and be like a sun and a moon together. So that's why, for example, we find that with Moshe, right after Moshe, what does it say? It says that Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chama, the face of Moshe was like the face of the sun. Pnei Yeshua, the face of Yeshua was like the face of the moon. Yeshua was the predecessor of Moshe, and. And so what's happening over here is that even after Moshe left this world, still, Yeshua is still like the moon. Meaning because he's still taking from the light of Moshe, he's still taken from that same light. Even though Moshe is not in this world, he still gets the light of the Nevuah. So Eliyahu is now telling Elisha, yeah, okay, even after I leave this world, you're not going to be able to be in the same level that I was, because then you're going to have to leave this world, like I'm leaving the world, but you're still going to get the light from me. So still, I'm going to be like the sun, and you're going to be like the moon. So the light, just like the moon gets its light from the sun, so too you, Elisha, are going to get the light from the sun. Okay, I'm going to stop here.